You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Robert D. Sollers, who has more than 30 years of experience in security and 22 years in workplace violence prevention. He owns Sollers Security Shield, which specializes in helping companies prevent violence. Robert, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
You bet. Certainly good to have you, and certainly a topic that needs to be covered. So how do you define workplace violence? Let's start there.
Well, I can tell you that I usually take a different tack on workplace violence than most people, the average person, I should say. Workplace violence can occur anywhere, at any time, to anyone, for any reason. It can happen at the job site, at work, or it can happen off of work. Just depends on what the occasion is and what the incident is. For example, if you're in a retail store and you have one of your sales associates make a customer mad, then that customer sees your salesperson out and about later, whether it be that afternoon, the next day, next week, or whatever, and they proceed to assault them, that should be considered workplace violence. Workplace violence doesn't take just place at a business. There was an incident in Peoria, Arizona, last summer, in which the Peoria school district employee was upset. There was two of them that had been feuding for a number of months and or probably close to a year. One employee set off fire bombs in the person that he was feuding with in his driveway. That is considered workplace violence as well. There are lots of incidents that can start at work and they will end somewhere else. Just like now we're starting to see with school violence, it's the same thing. If it happens on a school bus or on the way home from school or on the way to school, it's considered school violence. The same thing happens with workplace violence. And there are lots and lots of incidents out there that are not covered as a workplace violence incident because they're just not the mass shooting type thing that we're accustomed to with one of those incidents.
So what are some of the statistics that you talk about?
Probably one that should get everybody's attention is that murder is the number one cause of on-the-job death for women. According to OSHA and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it's also the number three cause of death for men on the job. So you can see that it ranks really, really high on injuries and death in the workplace. And any company that has a death in the workplace due to workplace violence and they haven't done anything to try to prevent it, the lawsuit settlement is $5 million. And then you figure in all of the other incidentals that go along with that, you know, cleaning up anything that is broken, replacing that, any other types of cleanup, replacing employees that may quit because they don't feel safe, whatever the case may be, those can add up to well over, you know, several hundred thousand dollars in and of themselves. 12% of all incidents of workplace violence caused by either a coworker or a customer. So, you know, while 85% of workplace violence incidents are because of another crime, 12%, like I said, is still caused by either a coworker or a customer. And then, of course, let's go on into domestic violence that spills over into the workplace. And we've seen lots of incidents here in the past year on that, too. So,
you say there are attitudes that can actually encourage violence. Cover some of those, if you would.
Okay. the first one that I talk about is called CHH, and that stands for It Can't Happen Here. The attitude of a lot of managers, supervisors, employees, and business owners is that it'll never happen here. I treat my employees so well. Everybody works really well together, yada, yada, that, you know, we'll never have one of those incidences here. And if you don't believe that you can have it there and you don't plan for it, then what you're doing is opening up the door for an incident to occur, because you're not going to see anything coming. And this is where that people come across as being so surprised when, you know, somebody walks in with a firearm and a coworker and starts shooting people, like they did at the accident signage systems in Minneapolis last year at the termination hearing at the end of the day, or any other of those. Another one is, and if this falls, this one falls in with an authoritarian style of management called NIH, which is not invented here. In other words, anybody below the managerial level doesn't have a good idea that the company can use and profit on. So everything has to flow from the top down rather than having the employees participate in what's going on. Another one would be disparate treatment. And actually, I should say perceived disparate treatment. If one employee perceives that they're being not treated fairly or unequally compared to other employees, their perception will become their reality. So therefore, perception is reality with this, and that can cause them to, for lack of a better term, go postal on their boss, coworkers, whatever the case may be. And one of the others is something that everybody does at least once in their life, and probably practically every day, is stereotyping. If we stereotype people, you're going to end up backing them into a corner eventually, and they're going to, like a trapped animal, they're going to come out swinging eventually. Such as if you have an employee who may be a little slower in learning and not the smartest tack in the drawer, okay, if you stereotype them as stupid and incompetent, you know, you've got to figure that sooner or later they're going to get tired of that stereotyping and they're going to do something to let you know that they're not.
Certainly interesting information. So what about those people who just snap, they just go over the top?
Well, this is one of my favorite parts of the seminars that I give, Eric, in that, you know, nobody just snaps. You're going to hear people, and whenever you see an incident, you know, you're going to hear the police officers, psychologists, media people, whatever, they're going to say, well, this person just snapped and there was no warning. But people don't just snap. There are always warning signs that lead up to people going over the edge rather than just walking up to it and then stepping back. So, you know, the warning signs are something that you really need to know before an incident would occur.
Today we are joined by Robert D. Sollers, who has more than 30 years of experience in security and 22 years of experience in workplace violence prevention. He also owns Sollers Security Shield, which specializes in helping companies prevent violence. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Robert, so what are some of those warning signs that we should be aware of?
Well, you know, everybody's going to know about, you know, if somebody makes a threat. Everybody knows about, you know, if somebody's on drugs or an alcoholic or whatever in the workplace and things of that nature. But some of the things that people may not be aware of are attendance problems. If you've got an employee who is having attendance problems on a constant basis, inconsistent work habits and or productivity, mental stress, and of course, you know, serious stress in life is something that we can all relate to at this time in the economy we're in. And there was an incident, if you'll recall, just several weeks ago with the firefighters down in Suwanee, Georgia. The guy had lost was losing his house, everything had been turned off, and, you know, he was having those financial issues. Then you have, you know, mental health. If somebody has a mental health issue, you know, schizophrenia or something else along those lines, that could be one of the warning signs. Depression, if they have a depression that just won't quit. If you have poor health and hygiene, poor relationship skills, you know, you always hear about the loner in these incidents. Well, that's somebody who usually has a their deficit in relationship skills. You know, if you have a younger person who is addicted to violent video games and music and movies, okay, cruelty to animals. Those last two are more commonly attributed to kids, teenagers, and college students for school violence. But they also can apply to somebody who may go off in your business as well. And one of the big ones that basically ties all of this together is if there's any unusual or changed behavior with any employees. If they suddenly start doing something that they're not used to doing or whatever the case may be. There's 21 different warning signs that companies need to be aware of to be able to watch out for.
And with that being said, how do you recognize these signs?
Well, you have got the first thing you have to do is you have to train your employees, your managers, your supervisors, everybody from the top down has to know what these signs are and how to report these signs to somebody. And also, I guess the best way to put it is you've got to be able to connect the dots together to know what's going on. And it should be up to either a coworker or a supervisor to connect those dots because they're the ones that are going to know the employees better than anybody else. But you also have to be able to build trust with your employees so that they feel safe in coming to you and saying something about it.
So how do we prevent an incident of workplace violence in our businesses?
Well, the only way to do that is but can be both time-consuming and it can be fairly expensive depending on how you're going to do it. Okay, you need to be able to train. You need to plan your. You need to plan it for an incident with your policies, procedures, your security, customer service, having a threat assessment team, disaster recovery plan, and so on. But then you have to be able to train your employees. That's the biggest one. You have to be able to train them again, and then train them again so that everybody knows what to look for and how to react if there is an incident that does occur within the business.
Robert, if you would, if you could tell our listeners where they can get more information about Solar Security Shield online.
It would be just www.solarssecurityshield.com.
Certainly appreciate you coming out today and covering a topic that's very seldom talked about. We've been speaking with Robert D. Sollers, who has more than 30 years of experience in security and 22 years of experience in workplace violence prevention. He owns Soller Security Shield, which specializes in helping companies prevent violence. And the website, once again, is SollersSecurityShield.com. Robert, thanks so much for joining us here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. And this is Eric Dye. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.